Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Yevamis Daf Tzadik. We're right on top of the Amud here, Toshma. We're in the midst of a discussion. There's a machlokes between Rav Chisda and Rav Nosson, Rav Oshia. Can Bezdin be Oiker? Dover min HaTorah. Bezdin is looking to maintain a halacha, to ensure the proper compliance with respect to certain isurim, but in order to ensure proper compliance, can they go ahead and make a gzeira, which will remove an isur, which will make a kula? You see, to make a chumra, to make a fence around the Torah, a gzeira, a takana, a siyag, a chumra, of course. We do it all the time to ensure proper compliance of dini HaTorah. What about if they're going to be matir and isur to accomplish that same goal? So that was the question we dealt with yesterday. Can Bezdin be oikei or davar min HaTorah? Can they uproot something with the goal in mind of preserving the Torah, but it is by way of canceling a halacha? Canceling teruma, giving a husband yerusha when he's really not entitled to that yerusha min HaTorah. So Rabbi says no. Rav Nosson Rav Oshia says no. You can't cancel a halacha. You could add, you can reinforce, but you can't cancel a halacha. You can't uproot a halacha, even though you have good intentions. Rav Chisda disagrees. He says, as long as the ultimate goal here is maintaining and preserving the Torah, even if it involves a temporary suspension of a halacha, based in our Iker, Dabim, and our Torah, they're allowed to do that. Says the Gemara, Toshma, Rav Chisda speaking, I'll bring you a raya, that in fact, Beis Din has the power, has the ability to be Iker, Dove, and HaTorah when they see fit. Achal Teruma Tmeya. This fellow ate Teruma, Bishoygeg. Didn't know that a non-Koyan may not eat Teruma. Didn't know it was Teruma. Whatever the circumstances, he ate Teruma, which was actually Tame, which a Koyan could not eat. He still has to pay back for that truma. Mishalim chulin tahirim. So he pays produce, fruit, not money, Rashi says. It has to be something which can potentially revert into truma. So he pays chulin, which is tahir. That's the ideal way of repayment. Shilim chulin tmeim. Suppose he pays back chulin, which happens to be tame. That's not the ideal repayment. Sumchas Oimer Meshum Rabbi Meir. Sumchas quotes Rabbi Meir as follows. Mishoygeg. He didn't know that this was Tame. It was by mistake. Tashluaf Tashlumen. We consider it payment. We leave it as is. Rashi says, based on the Gemara we learned yesterday, that really something which is Tame can technically become Truma as well. So here, but the evidence works. But Bemazed. If he did it knowingly, he knew that this was Tame and he paid the Tirukayan in exchange for the truma that he ate, ain't tashlum of tashlumen, it doesn't count. He has to repay. Whether it was b'shoigeg or b'mezit, either way, tashlum of tashlumen, the repayment stands, it remains teruma, belongs to the kayan, but he has to repay. V'chazer mishalim chulin tayern, he has to pay again. This time, make sure it's chulin, which are tahir. V'havinu, but we had a kasha on this price. V'mezit, ein tashlum of tashlumen. So Rav Meir says, well, if he did it b'mezit, it's not considered repayment. We cancel it. Why? What's wrong? Tavay alav bracha. If anything, he's deserving of appreciation. Why de ochal mine? What did he eat of the kayin? What did he take? Midi something de loika chazile, which is not suitable for the kayin, be made to musa when the kayin is tummy. Right? Remember, he ate truma, which is tummy, which in any case the kayin could not really enjoy properly. He couldn't eat it when he was tummy. Rashi explains the Gemara means there's a double problem. the item itself is tummy, and we know, we learned this a little while ago, that truma, which is tummy, may not be consumed. It cannot be eaten. There's a mitzvah saseh not to eat it. On top of the fact that if the kohen himself was tummy as well, there's a double issa there. Rashi brings that he gets misa, even if it's truma tumeya. This is a big controversy. The mefarshim on the side seem to have a problem with that halacha, and they reconcile Rashi's shita according to it's a certain case that Rashi is speaking about. In any case, the bottom line is, what did he take from the kohen? He took truma tumeya, which isn't really something that can be consumed properly. And what did he give him back? Something way better. Become a shalem. He gave him chulin, which are tummy. Become a shalem midi. He paid him back something, the kachazi lebi metumasa, which the kohen could eat when he's tummy. There's no restriction upon eating chulin, which is tummy. So if anything, he gets a bracha for giving him more than he took. Now Rashi asks Akasha. Fact is that what you give him becomes teruma. That's the whole concept of repaying him, fruit. That produce turns into truma. That's how you accomplish your kapara. That's how you compensate for what you did. So think of it like this. He's taking chulin tame, giving it to the kohen, which now turns into truma, and it results in, it's truma tameya. It ends up being truma tameya. So what did the Gemara mean? That it gives him something which is suitable for him, be made to musa. So Rashi says, well, it's not what he had in mind when he paid him the chulin tmeim. He didn't mean that it should become truma tmeya. He was giving him something that better than he got. So really, he's deserving of praise. Now, some Farshim asking, who's to say what he knew, what he didn't know? Maybe this is what he had in mind, so why are you praising him? So Tosis learns a bit differently. He says, look, as far as the payer, as far as me, I had the truma tmeya, and I'm paying you back chulin tmeim. I'm giving you something of higher value. That's the point. I'm losing more than I gained. I got something of lower value. Truma tmei isn't worth much. The only thing it's suitable for is to use as fuel. So I'm taking something of low value. I'm giving you chulin tmeim, which is really more expensive. So although ultimately it turns into truma tmeya, so really it's back to square one. But the fact is, I gave more than I got. Tavoi lav bracha. That's what the Gemara means. In any case, why are we penalizing him? We're saying it's ain tashlum of tashlum, we cancel it, doesn't work. We nullify this payment. Why? If anything, I deserve a bracha. Oh, v'amar rava, v'amri lo, some say kedi, nameless. Kedi means without a name. They were unsure as to who exactly answered this teretz, that the brice has to be modified somewhat. Chesur mech, shorach itani, it's meant to be learned as though it's missing some words, and learn it as follows. We begin by saying, Ochal teruma temeya. If he ate teruma, which is tummy, isn't worth very much. Mishalom kohodu, we allow you to pay back anything you want. You can pay back chulin tahirim, chulin temeim. Either way, you're ahead of the game. It's definitely worth more than the teruma temeya that you had. Because nobody can eat teruma temeya. So that's a simple, straightforward halach. But, Ochal truma tahira. If he ate proper truma b'shoigig, what does he pay back? So ideally, preferably, he should pay mishalim chulin tahira. Right? You ate truma tahira, repay chulin tahira. Let's say he didn't. Shilem chulin tmeim. So he paid chulin, which is lesser in value. It's tame. Does it hold or not? Simchas Omer, Mishmer Reb Meir, he quotes Reb Meir as follows. Depends on your level of awareness. B'shoigig, if it was B'shoigig, unknown to you, fine. We let it stand. Tashlum of Tashlumen. B'mezid, if you did it purposely, you purposely shortchanged the Kayin, ain't Tashlum of Tashlumen, it doesn't count. It gets cancelled. So basically, the material that you paid, the fruit that you gave him, does not turn into truma. You take it back, and you give him back proper payment. That's Rabbi Meir quoting, Simchas quoting Rabbi Meir. V'chacham Omrim, Chacham say, Well, being b'shogeg, being b'mezid, whether it was b'shogeg or b'mezid, it doesn't matter. Tashlum of tashlumin, the payment sticks, it holds. It stays by the kohen as teruma, right? Because what you pay turns and converts into teruma. V'chayzer m'shalom chulon tahir, you have to pay again, double payment. So according to this approach, according to the way we explain the b'raisa now, we have like this: if you ate chulon tmeim, sorry, you ate teruma tmeya, something of lower value, and you're free to pay whatever you wish. You can pay him chulin toherim, chulin tmein, doesn't matter, because after all, you ate something of low value, of little value. Whereas if you ate something of higher value, truma tohera, Chacham still say, look, either way, what you pay is what you paid. It sticks, it holds, it's valid. But when it was truma tmein, it was, but when you paid him chulin tmein, since it wasn't the ideal repayment, you should have given him something toher. So whether it was b'shegig or b'mezid, you have to repay again. Rabbi Meir says, if it was b'shogeg, leave it alone. If it was b'mezid, then you get back what you paid. Your payment is rejected. It's not accepted. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean rejected? So it doesn't turn into truma, doesn't belong to the kayin. But realize that minat Torah, this payment sticks, it's valid. In this case, minat Torah, it's a proper payment. After all, he paid him back the fruit. In fact, suppose, theoretically, the kohen would take that fruit, use it to be mekadesh and isha, it's his wife. The kedusha sticks, it holds. And still, what did Rabbanan say? Because you tried to shortchange the kohen? V'amar Rabbanan ain't tashlum of tashlumin. We cancel the payment. Give it back. It never belonged to the Kayin. It's not Truma. Give it back to the Yisrael. The Kedushin has been invalidated. It's not his wife. It's an Eishes Ish. No. We cancel the whole procedure. Why? Because we want to ensure that one who eats Truma pays back properly. So in effect, you are being oiker davar minatera. Bezdin, the chachamim, the leaders in Klal Yisrael have the ability to cancel a halacha, to cancel an iser, eishes ish. For the better good of the general community of Klal Yisrael. So it's a right to my shita, says Rav Chisda, that bezdin oiker davar minatera. Answers the Gemara, no. That's not the way to learn the Braisa. My ain't tashlum of tashlumin. Gomer Rav Meir. Although Rav Meir says, ain't tashlum of tashlumin doesn't mean that we cancel that payment. Or we take it away from the kohen. No. The boy lemi hadat shlume yichul and tahirin. All he meant to say is, if he did so b'mezid, you have to pay another measure of chul and tahirin. Of course, what you gave him stays by him. It's truma, belongs to the kohen. He used it to be mikadosh isha. It holds. All Rabbi Meir meant to say was, pay again. Well, yachi, sumchas hain rabbanan. Then there's no machlekes in the braisa. Sumchas, quoting Rabbi Meir, that you have to repay is the same as the rabbanan, who say you have to repay. It's one afkamina. Amar v'ach, breder Rav Ika, what about if it was b'shoigig? Rabbi Meir says, b'mezit. He's in trouble. But b'shogeg, we don't seem to be concerned because what inadvertently wasn't intentional. But the Rabbanon equate. They don't differentiate between shogeg and mezid. Konsu shogeg otu mezid ika benayu. Do we apply the knas? Do we penalize a fellow who did a b'shogeg on account of mezid? Might lead to mezid. That's the point in Afkemina. This nuance is the machlekes. Rameya says, no knas by shogeg, Rabbanan say there is. But according to all shittas, tashlum of tashlumin, even if you had truma tahira, and you repaid chulin tameim, the payment sticks, it stands. It stays true, it turns into truma and stays truma, it belongs to the kohen, the kedushin, the kedushin is valid. The question only is, well, he has to do another payment afterwards as a knas, as a punishment, for shortchanging the coin. Tosis asks a kasha. What's the Gemara's raya? We learned yesterday that when it comes to monetary issues, all agree that hefker bezdin hefker. Bezdin has the ability to render something ownerless, to reappropriate possessions according to need and how you see fit. The better good and the interest of Klal Yisrael in mind. And here, perhaps that's what happens. They exappropriated this property of the kohen, and that's how the Eishes Ish is no longer an Eishes Ish because it was never the kohen's property. So he says, what did the kohen do wrong? He did nothing wrong. The Yisrael who ate his truma did something wrong by giving him this material, but the kohen himself, the recipient, did nothing wrong. And therefore, there's nothing to justify hefker bezdin. It's not just a magic trick that's applied indiscriminately. We did something wrong with your property, with your money, we take it away from you. But we couldn't apply it to the kohen in this case, who did nothing wrong. So the Gemara's raya was a solid raya. Why would the payment become a non-payment? Why would the truma status get cancelled? Why wouldn't it belong to the kohen? Answer is, because bezdin are going to be eikar davar min haTorah, because that's their tafka. They have to ensure proper compliance with halachas haTorah, even if it means suspending halachas and revoking yisurim. The Gemara responds by pushing away the raya. The Braisa never meant that they revoke the truma status from this payment. Toshma, here comes another raya to support Rav Chisda that bezdin has that ability. Dam shenitma bezarkai, dam of a carbon. So the blood of the carbon became tummy. And the kohen took the dam and did zrika on the mizbeach. B'shoigeg, if it was by accident, hurtza. So the carbon is accepted, it's valid, it's kosher. B'mezid, done on purpose. Lo yehurtza, the carbon is not accepted. And what happens now? The owner has to bring another carbon. V'hacha. But here in this case, even though the blood of the carbon was tummy, the midairaisa artsuyi meratza min haTorah, it works. The sanya, as the Braisa says, alma tzitz meratza. The tzitz, one of the eight begadim of the kohen gadol. So this gold plate is meratza. It addresses, what does it address? Various deficiencies, tumah related deficiencies associated with karbonis. Al ma'atzitz meratza, al adam, al abasar, al chilev, all different parts of the karbonis, shenitma, which became tummy, bein b'shoigig, bein b'mezid, bein b'oynes, bein b'ratzin, whether it was b'shoigig, whether it was b'mezid, b'oynes, faultless, b'ratzin, willfully. Truth is that it's almost a repetition because mezid and ratzin are pretty much the same thing, but the Ibrahim, the Gemara many times would use, parallel language. Matching language. So mezid is the contrast to shoigig, and ratzan is the contrast to oynis. So either way, ben biyachad ben metzibur, whether with dealing with a private carbon or a public carbon, if a tuma was present in any of these elements of the carbon, the tzitz addresses it, and the carbon is kasher, right? And still, what do rabbanon say? Va'ami rabbanon lo yehurutze. Rabbanon say, well, if it was b'mezid, it doesn't work. And what happens as a result? V'kahadar ma'ayil chul nazor, and the owner will have to bring another carbon, which technically min haTorah. He's not obligated to bring. It's chulin, it's a non-carbon. He's bringing it to the azor as a carbon. That's an avera. Apparently, the chachamim have the ability to revoke a halacha, to remove an iser, to allow chul nazor. For the betterment of the general community, to ensure proper compliance with halachis. And therefore they say, look, if you're doing this rika, the dam, b'mezid, you took dam tummy, you did it b'mezid, we nullify the whole process. That's a writer of chizda. Amar b'yesi bar chanina, don't bring a raya from here. My loy hurtze de ka'amar. Although we mentioned the term loy hurtze, it doesn't mean that the carbon was not accepted, that the carbon is not kosher. They have to bring another one. No! Lahatir basar ba'achila. All we meant was that the basar of this carbon cannot be eaten. Carbon is kosher. But we don't allow achilas hakarbon. That's all. We'll leave that out. Aval balim is kapar, but the owner had his kapar. Because the tzitz compensates for the tumah present in the dam. Asks the Gemara, one second, why is that any better? Soif soif. At the end of the day, ultimately, kumis akra achilas basar, you're uprooting, you're canceling the mitzvah of eating the basar of the karm, which is an integral part of the kapara process. Uksiv va'achlo isim asha kupar behem. Pasuk speaking about the kohanim who consume the karbonis. Makes mention of the term kapara there as well to teach us that kapara is not accomplished merely by bringing, you know, the portions on the mizbeach, the dam, or the chelev, even the chelek of the kohanim. By way of the achilas kohanim, kapara is accomplished as well. They play a critical a role in bringing about kapara. So achilas kohanim is not to be taken lightly. Melamed, we learn shekohanim oichlim ubalim miskaparim. The kohanim eat, the kohanim achieve kapara. The balim achieve kapara. In fact, Roshanim point out that this applies to any part of the korban that's meant to be eaten, whether the chelik that the kehanim eat, or sometimes the owner would eat, you know, the shlomim, whatever it is. The point is, achilas hakorban accomplishes kapara, and here you're canceling that. Isn't that just another form of oikrin davar min haTorah? So back to the raya. Apparently the chachamim can do that. Amar lei, so Rava responded, not so fast. It's very different. I agree, they're doing something. They're interfering, so to speak. They're canceling some element of the carbon, but it's different. It's different than oikrin davar min haTorah. You know why? Sheva al tasas shani. Sheva al tasas in a passive format. They're not telling you to actively negate din haTorah. They're not being matir and iser, etc. They're just saying, look, refrain, hold back from eating the carbon. That they can do. That they can do. Let's go to Rashi. About 8 lines from the bottom. What's the difference between Sheva al Tasa and otherwise? Says Rashi, Sheva al Tasa. A passive negation is different. Lav akirahi. It's not considered uprooting. You're not actively uprooting. You're just passively ignoring a mitzvah. That's different. Kigoyin achilas basar. Asehi. Consuming the basar carbon is an asei, right? Vavar abonon. And Rabbanan tell you, in this case, where you're not behaving appropriately, you did the Azrika b'tumah, you know what? You're not going to have this privilege. Sit back and relax. Sheva al teichel, don't have the carbon. We want to highlight the importance of bringing the carbon b'tahara. This is not a carbon that you're meant to eat. Lava kirubi yadayimu. It's not considered uprooting it. Elema meili misakra. It's happening by default, by circumstance. You don't eat it. But meili, the carbon won't be eaten. Aval truma. In contrast to the previous example of truma, the kamar lo esav leklum. If you tell me that the truma is not truma, in effect you're allowing an iser. Umapkes lo lechulin. You're turning it into chulin. That's a cancellation of halacha in an active format. Akiru mamashi. You're actually uprooting an halacha, and that's a chiddush. That I don't agree with, says Rabbi. Amar leser, if Chizr responded, no, I have a whole long list of rayos to support my position. Boyel suvach, I wanted to ask you from all these cases, where we see the Chachamim negated a mitzvah when they saw a need to do so. Orel hazah, we'll get to it in a minute. Orel hazah v'izmel sadim v'tzitzis v'kivsi atzeres v'shefer luluf. Explain in a minute. So in all these cases, Chachamim suspended halachis, negated concepts of the Torah, with the goal in mind of preserving and maintaining, you know, halachas in the Torah. And this would have been a right to my shita. But now, it doesn't work. Because ahashta the son is law. Now you've answered, you've presented the, you know, distinction between active and passive. Sheva al tasa, loy me'akaru. A passive annulment is not considered an akira. Once you've introduced that concept, that distinction, now all my rayas fall by the wayside, because kulunami, all those rayas that I would have brought to support my position, that the Chachamim could be Iker Halacha, guess what? They're all the same type of thing. Sheva al Tasa. Ninu. And therefore, I could not bring a Raya from there anymore. So Aral Rashi says is a case where a fellow was became a ger on Erev Pesach. Technically, you can eat the carbon tonight, but we don't allow it because next year, he might become tummy 2 days before Pesach. And I'll say, look, well, last year, I touched the mace 2 days before Pesach. He didn't realize the difference. Last year, he was a goy, right? And last year, I touched the mace 2 days before Pesach, and 2 days later, I had the carbon Pesach. So you won't realize that last year, he was a goy, and he's not going to be a kabbal tumah when he's a goy, but this year, it's different. If he's tummy 2 days before Pesach, he has to wait 7 days. So in order to avoid that confusion, we say every ger who comes in right before Pesach has to wait 7 days before he gets the Karban Pesach. Hazo'a, a fellow who's in need of Hazo'a's Paraduma, on Erev Pesach, to allow him the Karban Pesach. But it's Shabbos, it's a Shavuos from the Rabbanah. We don't do it because it looks like you're fixing him. So we hold back from Hazo'a's Paraduma, even though it's at the expense of his ability to bring Karban Pesach. So then the Rabbanah is Mevatel, a mitzvah. But you realize all these things are passive annulments. Sheva al Tasa, Ismail. So it's Shabbos, time for Bris Milah. They forgot to bring the knife. We don't allow them to bring it through courtyards, even though it's just a question of the Rabbanon Erev Chatzeres. No. The Din the Rabbanon stands in the way of the Mitzvah Smilah Min HaTorah. Sada Mitzitis, you have this sheet made of linen material, Pishtan. Technically, Min HaTorah, you can affix wool and strings on your linen material, because when it comes to tzitzis, kilayim is mutter, but the Chacham are concerned that perhaps this sheet will be used for, you know, nighttime use, in which case there's no chiv of tzitzis and doesn't justify kilayim. So they say, don't apply tzitzis to a sheet of pishtan. So there'd be mevat mitzvahs asay for concern that it might lead to an iser. Kipsi atzeres. First Rashi says, I'm not sure what this is. I was not mikabel for my rabbi, but then he says, I'll tell you what it is. I think it's connected to a Gemara in Beitza that the Karbonis, the Kipsi Atzeres, meant to be brought on Shvoi. So he did the Shechita Shaloi L'Shman. It wasn't for the sake of his carbon, so it was an improper Shechita. Technically, you can just, you know, conclude the process, even though you don't have it the way it's meant to be. It doesn't really count, you know, as an obligatory carbon, but it's still a kosher carbon, so you can really do the rest of the process. Still, Chacham say, if it's on Shabbos itself, don't get involved any further, because it's not really obligatory anymore, because he deviated, he did a shleil lishma. So you're, in effect, canceling three mitzvahs, Zrika, Haktaras Emurin, and the Achilas HaKarbon. Why? Because you want to maintain the Shavus Rabbanon, which is not to go ahead and do Zrika unnecessarily on Shabbos, because again, you're fixing, you're going through a process which looks like you're fixing, creating something, and then the Rabbanon, and that brings about the cancellation of this carbon with all its associated mitzvahs. What else do we have? Oh, Shofar and Lulav. These are well-known halachis. We don't blow the Shofar on Shabbos. We don't shake the Lulav on Sukkot, which falls out on Shabbos, all because of a Chazal who were concerned that they might be carried through the street. Right, so that gezeira is mevatel mitzvah sasei. So theoretically, this would support Rav Chizda's position that Bezdin, Chacham, the leaders in Klal Yisrael, have the ability to be mevatel adavar min haTorah for the sake of the greater good, to maintain the Torah, to protect us from Isurim, to ensure compliance. But Rav Chizda himself concedes, look, now, once you've given me that concept of Sheva al Tasa, that passive annulment is certainly acceptable. It's different than active annulment. In that case, all my rayos, all my supports are no longer going to prove anything with respect to an active akira. But let's not give up. Tashma, here comes another right. Pasuk says, Elov tishmon. You have a Navi Emes. You're meant to listen to him at all times. Even if the Navi tells you to do an Aver, to go in Eliyahu up on Har HaKarmel told them to bring the Karbonis outside the Migdash. You're meant to listen to him. All according to the need, according to the a time, according to the Shah, whatever he tells you, listen to him. No. It's clear from here that a Navi, and likewise a Chacham, because as Tosis points out, when it comes to Negedi Mitzvah Satorah, a Navi really shouldn't really have any more authority than any other Chacham. Because we know that the Pasuk says, Eila HaMitzvahs, the Gemara Megillah says that a Navi cannot be Mechadish Dover Me'ata. He can't change one iota of the Torah, even a Navi. So the fact that the Pasuk tells you that you listen to a Navi when he's telling you to be Oyver Navira, apparently this is an exception. When there's a special need, a Tzorech Shah, a Navi, a Chacham, Bezdin, can even nullify a mitzvah or tell you to be Oyver Navira. Says Rav Chisda, here's my raya. Bezdin Oikrin Dover Me'ata. Even when it's a Kula, even when they're canceling an Issa. No, says the Gemara Shani Yosom, it's very different. Tichsiv Elof Tishmo, there's a Pasuk. Well, V'ligma Minei. Let's learn from there. To elsewhere as well, if there's a need. To the Tzorech. Chacham can make a Takan, even at the expense of an Isra. Migdar Milsa Shani, it's very different there. When he's trying to rebuild, fix a breach in Klal Yisrael. Rashi says it was a Klal Yisrael being swayed by the Nevi'e Habal, by the Avodah Zarah, being swayed to Avodah Zarah. It was critical that he steps in there and he does something unconventional, even if it involves doing something which is otherwise considered a grave Isser, like Shchutei Chutz, bringing a carbon outside of the Mikdash. But it was a one-time thing. Hayru Ashah. Some Rishonim learn it involves the community at large. It wasn't just an individual. It's Klal Yisrael. Taisus is a mashma that it's more a point of Tzorech Shah. It was a temporary one-time need. It was a time-related concern. Migdar Nosa, to be goyder, to create a fence, to maintain Klal Yisrael and their observance of mitzvahs, that's different. That's different than going and making a takana for all time. Such as the halachas of Truma and all that, that's a long-term proposition. If that involves an akiras iser, who's to say they can do that? Here it's different. It was critical that the chacham or the navi steps in at a time of emergency and does something drastic, even if it involves doing an aveir. The Rambam says it's like a beautiful mashal. He says like a person who's lo yaleinu chas v'shalom ill. So sometimes it requires doing something drastic, an operation to amputate, to do something unconventional, something which you wouldn't ordinarily done. But it's an emergency. Says the Rambam, Hilchas Mamrim. Here, El Yo with the Nevi Abal. I mean, there's an emergency. You step in at all costs. Continues the Gemara Toshma. Here comes another writer of Chizda. Bitloy Mevotol. Suppose somebody sends a get to his wife. He has a change of heart. He gets up and he says, you know what, I'm being mevatel the get. Technically, it works, because as Rashi says, until it gets to her, it's not really a get, it wasn't really activated. But Rabban Gamliel HaZokin was mesaken, you can't do that. It's not fair. She's not going to know. She's going to think she's divorced, go get married to somebody else. A while later, she'll hear from her husband that he's still around. You can't do that. A special takana. He's not meant to do that. What happens if he does it? Husband is mevatel the get prior to the get reaching his wife. Bitloy mevatel works. The get becomes cancelled. Divi Rebbe. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, no. Ein yachlei levatle. V'loy lo yisval tznoi. You can't annul, you can't add to condition, you can't tinker with the get. That's the Chacham made a takana. Once you send it off, it's out of your hands. You can't be mevatel it, you can't add more conditions. Because otherwise, what's to the authority of Bezin? Who have told you, who have warned you, who have established that Takana not to do this? So your bittul is worthless and the get is valid. Says the Gemara. Listen to this. V'ahacha. Here we have a case with the Mdeiraisa bittul get. Right? Menat Torah. What could you do? He did the bittul on the get, it's over. So really, she's his wife. Umishum ma koyach bezin, because of this power of bezin, to uphold the authority of bezin kasharina and eshesish la alma, you're going to let the get stand? It's not a get. You're going to let it stand, and you're going to let the eshesish marry out? That's terrible. Apparently, this is a riot to my shita, says Rav Chisda. That when Bezdin sees fit, when they see a need, they have the ability to cancel halachis, to cancel Yisurim. Answers the Gemara, no. Here it's different. Once again, here it's different. Amanda Mekadish, when one does Kiddushin, Adata the Rabbanan Mekadish, he hinges it, he depends it on the Das Rabbanan. As we all say, right? Hariyat Mekudeshesli, right? Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. In accordance with the instructions of Moshe. Right? So that's the mindset. When a person does his Kedushin, it's dependent upon the approval of the Bezdin, of the Chachamim Shebedar. And here, in this case, Vafki'inu Rabbanu l'Kedushin. Here that he was Mevatel as Get. So technically, she still married him. No, we let her marry out. Why? Chachamim nullified the entire Kedushin, retroactively. So he never married her. Amali Ravinu Ravashi. I understand. Hatenach, that works the Kaddish Bekaspa. You know, different ways of doing Kedushin. If he gave her a coin, fine. So the Chachamim could say, you know what, the coin is Hefka. So there's a way to nullify the Kedushin and make her unmarried retroactively. Kaddish Bebiya, Meikel Meimar, but if he interacted with her, physically, how can you take that away? That too, says the Gemara, Shavu Rabban Lebilos, they turn the Bia Bilas Nus into an interaction unrelated to marriage. Okay? So here there's a simple way out. Easy solution. They were never married. Tashma, here comes another right. Amar Blazer Ben Yaakov, Shemati, I heard from our Rebbeim that sometimes Shebezdin Makin Vo'inshin Shalom Anatar, they could strike, they could punish, even though it's not really sourced in the Torah, if they see fit, they see a special need to resort to drastic measures to maintain the integrity of Klal Yisrael, integrity of Torah, they can do that. They can hit, they can kill. V'loy laval divrei Torah. They're not trying to be over on Torah. Elo lasek shiag l'Torah, to create a fence, to guard the Torah. In fact, there were two stories. Umas abadam echad, the story with this fellow Shalrochav al Sus, he was riding on a horse in public, b'Shabbos, on Shabbos. It's not Issa Deraisa, it's only the Rabbanon. You might rip off a branch. But it was a very desperate time, very troublesome time. B'mei Yivanim, time of the Yivanim, who gave us a very hard time. And in fact, many in the Jewish people were swayed by the Yivanim, became Mesyavnim. Chachamim had to step in before it gets too late. They dragged this person to Bezdin. They gave him a skill. They killed him. Because he was deserving of skill. He didn't do it. Because during that point in history, it was critical to resort to such measures to protect the Torah. Another story with a fellow. He interacted with his wife physically in public underneath the fig tree. Something totally inappropriate. They took him to Bezdin. They gave him Malkus. Because he was deserving of Malkus. He didn't commit such a serious offense. Ella, rather, unfortunately, at that point in time, this type of behavior was prevalent. They had to go and step in. Do something drastic. To make a statement. Apparently, Chachamim could do whatever they see fit, even an Isser, hitting somebody, killing somebody, to protect the Torah. Apparently, the better good of Torah, the interest in it, to preserve Torah, supersedes all the other concerns, all the other Yisurim. That's a writer of Chizda. That Bezdin ha'oikah davar min ha'Torah, to maintain the Torah. Answers the Gemara once again, Migdar, Milsa, Shani. Here it's just a question of safeguarding, erecting that gedder when they saw things were just falling apart. So this was just a limited time concern, a time-related issue, and here they can do it. But as far as something permanent and long-term, That's questionable. So bottom line is, we didn't really conclude. We attempted to bring many rayas, but it didn't really, really support Rav Chisda in his shita that bezdan or ikedav min atira, even when a naval is creating a heter, if the purpose is to maintain a halacha, we haven't really proved that. So bottom line is, what does bezdan have a koyach to do? Well, when it comes to mamon, when it comes to financial issues, hefker bezdan, hefker, they have the ability to reappropriate, to redistribute, to nullify, to render ownerless, we learn from psukim, that they can do. They can redistribute property as per need. As Tosfos points out, well, you have to have done something wrong. You don't just step in and pull away your assets for no good reason. Now, we learned about sheva al tasa. Yeah, many times, chachamim, out of concern for an issur that might actually develop, they go ahead and they cancel. They tell you to sit passively. Don't do an issur, don't do a mitzvah or whatever, in order to maintain the Torah. Sheva al tasa, in a passive form. They can add chumrois and gzeiros and takonis, that's unquestionable. And lemigder milsa, when they see a critical need to go step in and do something drastic, that they can do, even if it involves a kula. We learned that in terms of kiddushin, this whole issue is a non-issue because every kiddushin is al das Moshe v'Yisroel. So the only question remaining is, can they remove an issur? Can they make a kula when they see fit, when they see a need? If that kula will affect Klal Yisroel permanently, it's something long term, is bezdan going to be oikir davar min ha-Torah? That's Rav Chisda and Rabba. Rav Chisda says yes, Rabba says no. We leave it at that. Continues the Gemara. This woman remarried. Husband comes back. She's in trouble. She leaves the second husband. She can't go back to the first husband. And if they're kohanim, they can't take care of her burial. Minolan, why not? Specifically the first husband. He's really her husband. Why can't he be metamet to her? Every kohen can be metamet to his wife. The chesed, the answer is, the pasuk says like this: Ki'im l'she'eroi, hakarav eloi. A kohen can become tamei to take care of his wife's kruv, vura. V'amamar, what does she'eroi mean? Zoyishtei. The closest he has, his wife. But then it says, uksiv lo yitama, ba'al ba'amav le'echale. A husband cannot become tamei for his wife. So how does this work? Depends when. Yesh ba'al she'mi tamei. Sometimes a husband can become tamei. V'yesh ba'al she'im tamei. Sometimes a husband can't. Okay, it's at how and when. Mitame hulishtek shera, it's a proper wife, yes. Ve'ene mitame, but it will not become tame lishtek psula to a wife as possible, such as in this case, where she's really on the way out. Veloize vezez akon bimitsiyos, the mission says, either a man has no rights to collect something that she finds, something that she earns, he can't override her in a darim. Why not the Metzia? Time of my, because why? To begin with, Amar Rabbanan Metzias Isha Labala. Why does Rabbanan say that anything Isha finds goes to her husband? So that doesn't generate animosity. Look, I'm feeding you, supporting you. You can't spare. You can't give me what you find. So in order to avoid this tension, the Metzia of the Isha goes to the husband. But in this case, Hacha, by us, she doesn't belong staying married to him. We're not concerned about Eva, about tension. Go ahead, whatever it is, let's unravel this marriage. Umasiya dia, husband, in this case, doesn't get her earnings. Why time of my Amir Rabban Masiya dia lebala? Why at all? Does a wife's earnings go to her husband? Because she takes his mezaynes. Well, in this case, she doesn't. Hacha. Kiva de mezoini lesla, she doesn't get mezoinis from him. Masi adel amdidei, he's not deserving of her earnings. Likewise, v'lei meifin adarel, he can't nullify her vows. Why, tam amay amar achmana, why did her say, baal mefer, husband, can override his wife's nedarim? Kadei shaloi tez gane. So that she doesn't lose favor in his eyes. Rashi says, if she makes a neder, I'm not going to bathe, I'm not going to beautify myself. Torah gave the husband the ability to override those nedarim. Shalit is gana. Right? So, generally speaking, a husband can nullify any neder of his wife. That generally speaking, but over here, hacha, tizganav tizganav. We're not concerned about her losing favor in his eyes, because she's not meant to stay with him to begin with. Okay, so bottom line is, we had a discussion, pretty long discussion, regarding the koyach of Beis Din, and we left it as a question mark, machlekes amarayim, regarding Beis Din being oikir davar min haTorah. On the one hand, they're trying to maintain the Torah, trying to ensure proper compliance, and therefore they applied whatever it is, they nullified the truma, etc., because the ultimate goal is to protect the Torah. But it is by way of making a heter, or nullifying and removing an iser. And that's questionable. Rav Chisda says they can do it. The goal sort of justifies the means, whereas the rabbi says no. After all, we're downgrading. We're mevatel an iser. We have no right to do that, even if our goal is lofty. I'm concluded with a few explanations regarding the halachas in the Mishnah. This isha is meant to leave him, and therefore we suspend all the halachas and the obligation, the privileges that are generally present in a conventional marital situation. All the best to you, and much hatzlacha.